True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Some baggage in their personal life that you could never understand. So not every one of us is going to do, on this station, for example, is going to be available and able to do a TikTok live video with the boss on a Saturday night, right? Why aren't you being the face of 95.7 The Game? Well, I've got some family obligations that are preceding whatever my work obligations are currently, yeah. Right? And so I can't speak for what Rafael Devers signed up for, didn't sign up for, wanted to do, didn't want to do. I know this. At 7:10, when it's pitch time and the game's about to start, this dude's an absolute baller, all right? And whatever happened between Boston and Devers and Breslow and Devers and all that, it's a fresh start for me, and I understand where Papelbon's coming from, but quite frankly, it's impossible for us to understand the entire dynamic.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We got Keith Law joining us at 7:30 this hour, so be locked into that. Keith Law of The Athletic is tapped in on all things prospects. And yeah, we're talking prospects still because of what the Giants gave up to get Devers. Are they going to miss any of these guys long term? And also, when's Bryce Eldridge? You know, when's he coming up? Could he come up this year? I mean, talk about getting Devers and then getting Bryce Eldridge here as well. Be pretty insane a couple month stretch here in San Francisco. All right. So that was one cut from one Jonathan Papelbon, who again joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday.
Dibbs out,
Grandy in. Yes.
Before we move on, not every person wants to be the face of the team. And I understand we want it that, hey, the highest paid player has to be the face of the team in the public community for the Niners the last 6 or 7 years before he got cut. Who was the face of the team in the community? I'm talking about in the community.
Wait, when? Sorry. What time?
For the Niners.
For the Niners.
Before he got cut last year, who was the face of the Niners in the community?
Oh, well, but I mean, before he got cut, I think George Kittle's been the face of the guy. Fred Warner. Of the community?
No. It was Eric Armstead. It was Eric Armstead did more with the Niners off the field in the community. I know.
Okay.
You know, and I'm not knocking Fred Warner and I'm not knocking George Kittle, but they were in different spots in their career for X, Y, and Z reasons. And the guy who did the most in the community as the face doing, whether it's, you know, handing out turkeys or doing different camps.
Got it. I was confused by the question.
I'm not trying to make Eric Armstead to be better than. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that he was in a spot in his career and comfortable because he was from Sacramento, to where he really felt like he needed to be involved in the community.
Right?
That's unique. Like, that's really unique. Not everyone is Steph Curry, you know? We just saw Jimmy Butler in Miami. And Jimmy's a great player, you know? But I'm sure there are a lot of things that he didn't want to do. I watched Barry Bonds not be in the team photo for a decade.
Listen, I think we're crushing Devers here, or people are crushing Devers. The comparison between him and Jimmy, and the Big Boss Man even sent a text yesterday, he's like, wow, the parallels between Jimmy Butler and Rafael Devers, like, I don't see it. Like, Jimmy Butler, how many teams? This is his fifth team?
Yeah.
Like, there's a track record there, man.
I know.
He's 35 years old. This is probably his last stop in the NBA. Like, there is a proven track record there that Jimmy is combustible. He has a timestamp within an organization. It's a couple years and see you later. The proof is in the pudding there. Devers, this is the first thing that's happened like this in his career. And quite frankly, the Red Sox have been in shambles the last, I don't know, 5 years or so. Moving off Mookie Betts, moving off Bogarts. Or I guess Bogarts moving off them. And then Chris Sale, another guy. And then now, Rafi Devers. All those guys that contributed to your last World Series win, if you're Boston, are now gone. I think that speaks more to that organization. But also, there's two sides to every story. So I do think there is some culpability now from Rafi Devers. I think he pouted a little bit from what it
looks like. Sure,
sure. He pouted. He was in his feelings. And you know what? A change of scenery is probably going to be good for him. And you know what? It's going to be a fresh start for everyone involved. That being said, I am curious to see how, you know, the infield shapes up in this coming week. I do expect him to play tonight. Where is he going to be starting tonight, Joe? Is he going to be a DH? Is he going to be at first base? Is he going to be at third base? What is Rafi Devers going to do tonight? I can't wait. I can't wait to see
him. So, like, David Sampson's talked about this a lot when he's running the Marlins, and he said there were certain guys that they gave contracts to, Stanton, where he didn't want to do all that stuff. He didn't want to do public appearances. He didn't want to represent the Marlins. But he was such a great player, right? He was such a great player. Obviously, you pay that individual. But not everyone is the ultimate unicorn, which is like the Steph Curry model. That's what makes him so unique, right? Like, look, I love Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's great,
yeah.
Right? If you're asking me, like, who's more effervescent in front of a camera and in the community, it's going to be, yeah, Fred Warner or George Kittle or guys like that. No, maybe one day Brock Purdy can evolve into that kind of a guy, but not everyone's that way. Like Draymond Green, who does some great things for the community. Great things for the community. But let's also remember, like, he's not the greatest clubhouse guy, using this analogy. He's not the greatest teammate of all time, right? And so as we talk about positions and where a guy wants to play, and, like, part of where the Warriors are at right now is because Trey he wants to play the four, but really his best position is the five. And, like, we've kind of had a very similar Devers-like conversation regarding Draymond Green. Now, again, that being said, do I want Draymond on every single ticket if I'm selling that I'm the Warriors? Probably not. I want to mix in some other people in there.
I guess what it comes down to is your trust in the established leadership on the team already. I think a lot of people were, you know, skeptical on Jimmy Butler joining the Warriors, not because of Steph. It was because of what? The suspendables, as we dubbed them.
Yes.
Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler. But I think we figured out pretty freaking quickly, like, those guys can work together because they both care and are both high IQ guys when it comes to basketball and play at both ends of the floor.
Yep.
They respect each other's game. And that's where it starts first and foremost, the respect factor, right? And the fact that Willy Adames and Rafi Devers are countrymen, teammates in the past on the Dominican national team, like, they are friends. They are tight. Willie even talked about it. Hell, do I have that guy here?
And Willie,
I want to play it here for a second. Yeah,
and Willie is a charming,
good
person to have in front of a camera.
Smile. The big smile. He's very enigmatic.
I think between Chapman and Adames, you've got two guys that are clearly able to take a lot of that face of the franchise stuff on. That doesn't mean they're the best player on the team. Like, I didn't think Eric Armstead was the best player on the team for the Niners, but in the community, he represented more.
Willy Adames here. This was from ESPN Sunday Night Baseball the other day, but this is, again, him reacting to Devers now being a member of the San Francisco Giants. Oh, can you draw my board, Carter, please, when you get the chance? Or my thing just froze, I think. It's all right. If you could play it in a second, that'd be great, but my sound just froze.
Everybody's so excited, man.
One more time.
Everybody's so excited, man. Me personally, I'm like thrilled, man, to have him on the team. Obviously, he's one of the best hitter in the game, and to have him in the team, I think it's going to help us, you know, to do a lot of damage in this division. And obviously, we need a bat like him in this lineup. So now, when we get Choppy back in the lineup, it's going to be exciting.
So that's the leader that he is coming into this team. Like, I look at him, Chapman, as he referenced, like, those two guys, when it comes to the everyday players, those are leaders. Now, you got your pitching leaders. It's kind of like a different, and you know this, you're a coach in baseball. It's almost like offense and defense, if you will, right? You got your bullpen guys, their own little sect. They're kind of all kind of crazy. They're chilling. And then you got your starting pitchers, right? And then you got your everyday dudes, right? And some of the platooners and all of that. And they're all hanging out. So you've got that infrastructure in place, I think, for Devers to come in here. And he doesn't have to be the quote-unquote leader. You don't need him to be that. Hell, I don't even think you need him to be the face of the franchise, quite frankly. I know a lot of people are already waiting to bestow that on him. Is he already the face of the franchise? You know what I came away with over the weekend? Face of the franchise isn't even playing on the Giants right now. It's Buster Posey.
Yeah, it might be.
He's the face right now of that franchise. You know what? That's not the worst thing. That's okay. It doesn't need to be a player sometimes. Sometimes it's a legend. Like, Jerry West was that dude for a while as a player and then as a GM. Now, when you're with the Lakers, it's always star-driven, and they gravitate towards the players, the Magic Johnsons, the Kobes, that or the other, right? But there are times when, you know, it's a president of baseball operations. Hell, we just had one with the A's forever. Billy Beane was the face of that franchise for 2 decades, right? John Madden with the Raiders in the 70s. He was the face. I know you had the Snake there, Kenny Stabler. You had some other players, Blitnikoff, right? Art Schell. That was John Madden. Guy's larger than life. Hell, Kyle Shanahan for a minute. He's synonymous with the 49ers. Bill Walsh, right? So these things happen. I don't think Rafi Devers needs to come in and automatically be this, I'm the leader, this is my team, look at me, I am the captain now. He doesn't need to do that, Joe. He doesn't need to.
He just needs to show up, play ball, have fun. Right, and I think if those things
hit dingers,
if those things all align, then the guy's going to be beloved. I mean, right now, look, one man's trash is another man's treasure. That's the way Giants fans are looking at this. We are on the receiving end of someone who actually is happy to be here. You know what I mean? Like, he is thrilled to be out of Boston, happy to be here, and we're happy to have him. And so I think this is an unbelievable marriage of not just convenience, but I think of everyone needing a fresh start.
What do you want to hear from him today? Because he's going to speak to the media. There's going to be a press conference.
I just want to hear
from Rafi Devers.
That's what I want to hear.
Okay.
I just want to win. If he says those words, everyone's going to be on board. Because you know what Giants fans want? They want to win too. Like, that's all they want. They want to win. And I think if we get a motivated, ready to go, kind of ticked off, like, I'm okay if he's ticked off. I'm okay with that. Like, I get it. Dude, you got ran out of town and they are rubbing dirt on your name all across the country right now. Like, right now, think about it. If he's waking up, you think he's unaware that all of Boston is taking a dump on his reputation?
Yeah.
David Ortiz, a guy that I'm sure that he knows better than any of us would even, you know, consider knowing, is talking about how he never reached back out to him. Boston media is crushing him. Craig Breslow's talking on and on and on. Maybe there were some things that he could have done better.
Jonathan Papelbon's coming on airwaves, right? Crapping all over.
These guys are aware. Like, he's aware of what's going on right now. And I think the last thing that he's going to do is show up here and be a malcontent. And I think that we're going to embrace him, and we're going to be ready to go. I think this is going to be unbelievable. And if this guy goes on a tear this week against the Red Sox coming into town, if you don't think he's got an axe to grind, those are the people that I always want to align with. Someone who is motivated and pissed off for greatness.
We're going to have some good revenge game scenarios and go down memory lane with some revenge games. Obviously, that series happening this weekend. But the Giants are back on the bump tonight. Robbie Ray will try to bounce back from a loss last week. He's been absolutely incredible all season long, though. 8-1, 2.55 ERA. Going up against, is that Slade Cicconi? Is that how you pronounce it? Cicconi? Cicconi? It's Italian. I should probably know it. You know what? English is my first language. I don't speak Italian. Sorry. I just don't. By the way, what's coming up in the game is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. From the ballpark to wine country. Summer's better when your car's ready to roll. Valvoline Instant Oil Change gets you in and out in about 15 minutes. No appointment needed. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com. More Papelbon reaction, plus Keith Law at 7:30 of The Athletic, talking prospects with the Giants. Who'd they get rid of? Are they going to miss those guys? And could we see Bryce Eldridge, the number one guy in the Giants system? Can we see him this season? Can we? Be fun to see on 95.7 The Game.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Baby shark, shark, shark.
Mama shark, daddy shark,
grandpa shark.
I hate all the sharks.
I go, is this, it's just a song? That's all it is? It's a 2-minute song?
The only shark I acknowledge is Jaws.
Baby shark, 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 shark. Mama shark, 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 shark. We go hunt, or whatever it is.
We'll ask Keith Law about that in 12 minutes if he's a big baby shark fan. MLB insider for The Athletic, knows all things prospects. As we're talking Giants trade endeavors, move off of Harrison, who I'm looking at it right now from an article a year ago. Keith Law, and this is San Francisco Giants 2024 top 20 prospects. Kyle Harrison leads the way. This is from February 20th of last year. Number 11 in his overall prospect rankings. This is the entire Major League Baseball. That's where he had Kyle Harrison. It's pretty big. It's a pretty big spot right there. Number 11 overall, the top 100. And he had Harrison as obviously the Giants' top prospect heading into last season. He said, this is the last little line he has in his article about Kyle Harrison. He said, regardless of how he puts together, he looks like a number 2 starter and has that ace upside if the command takes a leap or he can tighten up the slurve. Don't think that command took a leap, and I don't know if he tightened up that slurve, Joe, to be that number 2 guy. Clearly he didn't, and clearly the Red Sox don't view him that way, as he got optioned immediately to their AAA affiliate over in the Northeast. So Kyle Harrison's moving on, and obviously Jordan Hicks being a part of that, the only other kind of everyday guy there in that situation. But do they miss out on their rookie draft pick from last year? Will they end up regretting that? We'll talk to Keith Law about that in about 10 minutes. And also, Bryce Eldridge. What does he see from Bryce this season in AAA? He made the jump. And could he be a Giant this season? As soon as this season, quite frankly. But we've been talking about Devers. And, you know, is there any way this kind of blows up in their face? I'm trying to get it from all angles here. Because I started off saying, Joe, it's like, it feels like it's too good to be true. Like, it feels like he didn't give up anything. And we'll ask Keith Law about that if he thinks that the Giants gave up a lot for this. Because it feels unanimous. Like, this is a perfect trade for them. Perfect. Can it be? Like, what has to happen for this not to be a perfect trade for the Giants?
Well, Devers is not good.
Is that it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's number one. If Devers is good, then they should be in a good spot, right? What do they have a plethora of? Arms, right?
Yes.
Whether it's old, young, etc., or in the minors. What do they not have? Left-handed power bat.
Yeah.
What have they not had? Left-handed power bat. Why do you think Brandon Belt was so valued for so long? Because there was the thought that he could be the left-handed power bat that you desperately needed. And when you had him and Crawford, and they were both having monster seasons,
Changed everything.
It did change everything, yeah. Right? And if you look at some of the years where they had monster years, they coincided with the Giants having monster years as well.
Yep.
Whether that's 2021, whether that's going back to 2016, 2014, et cetera. So they've been looking for a power, legitimate, middle of the order, left-handed bat since Barry Bonds.
Is this the best power hitter since Bonds, like purely power hitter that the Giants have had?
I don't view him as a straight-up power hitter.
Okay.
Because he hits for average. I just think he's an all-around great hitter.
Okay.
Like, there's a difference for me.
Okay.
And when I think of, like, power hitters, sometimes I think that you give up when it comes to maybe you have a high strikeout rate with not a lot of contact. And this is a guy that hits for doubles. He hits overall. He, you know, 150-plus hits every single year. He's a well-rounded hitter is what I would say about him. And, yes, power is part of the element there. I'm interested to see how he adjusts to the park, though. You know, hitting in the East Coast when it's humid in July and August and September, it's going to be very different from hitting tonight. Maybe it's foggy and windy and cold in AT&T Park. So we'll see.
Yeah, let's see what the weather is going to be like tonight. It looks like come 8 o'clock, it's going to be 60 degrees. And there you go. So it'll be chilly tonight, as we come to expect in June in San Francisco. And how's he going to react to that? We'll see. And by the way, coming up tonight at 5 o'clock, the Valkyries take on the Dallas Wings. And you can hear the game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pre-game starts at 4:30. Also, be locked in tomorrow because we will be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Valkyries take on Caitlin Clark, Joe, in the Indiana Fever on Thursday night.
Oh, heck,
can't
yeah.
Wait for that one.
When you look at someone's like spray chart, meaning where they hit the ball in relation to the field, you get a lot of guys in the modern day that like to pull the ball. Very few like to go the other way. Some guys, like Aaron Judge, their sweet spot is to right center. Like, that is his number one sweet spot. Now, can he pull it? Of course he can. Mike Piazza was that way. He'd hit it to right center. Adamas, I think, at times, is a right center hitter. This guy, Devers, is a spray guy. And with that wall in Boston, you know, guys like him and Wade Boggs that use the entire field, and I don't compare the two flippantly. I mean it with all praise. Great hitters hit them where they ain't.
Yes.
And when you have that wall and that ability to just pepper balls off that wall, you know, that does change your approach. I'm kind of looking at Rafael Devers and the splits and things like that. I mean, this is a guy that has had success in a lot of different places, not just in Boston. But again, our ballpark is very unique.
Well, you say that, and I wonder how patient Giants fans are going to be if he does struggle early on here. I mean, we saw it with Willie Adamas, and it was and has been a massive struggle for him. He's been heating up a little bit within the last week. Hopefully that continues tonight against the Guardians. But, like, what is the window here for Devers? Like, I don't think the first month, obviously, I think you're going to be going through the motions. And the fact that he does have such, like, a high batting average right now, I do think a lot of people are like, all right, well, you know, it should translate no matter what. Even if he's not hitting for power, quote-unquote, he's going to be getting hits, hopefully. But if he doesn't, let's say he does struggle, Joe, in these first couple months, like, can they afford that? Like, I feel like they kind of need this guy to be that, like, bat immediately.
Joe,
they can't expect, because Chapman's out for the next month. Like, I know what Ramos is doing. That's been great. Jung-Hoo Lee's been getting, he's been better. Wilmer Flores, are we going to expect him to be keep doing what he's doing? Like, I feel like they need Devers to be that dude early on here. Like, immediately, starting tonight.
I mean, if you just look at the last couple of years for Devers, right? He's hit about 40 to 50 points higher at home than he has on the road.
Yep.
You know?
That matters. That matters.
2023, he was almost even, but hitting higher at home than the road. But over 2022, 2024, now 2025. I mean, you're looking at a 50-point swing. I don't know. You learn about a player when you watch him every single day. He's a better hitter than Adamas. So I think trying to use Adamas as the algorithm for what Devers is going to do is probably a fool's errand. We have to let it play out. That being said, you know, some guys just hit better in certain parks. And in the backdrop, they see the ball better. You're a golfer. You know, when you stand on the tee box, there are certain fairways that just kind of meet your eye. And there are other ones, no matter what your playing partners think, you get on that tee box and you're just like, it doesn't fit my eye.
I
get uncomfortable.
I can't see it. Exactly.
Right?
They teach you to, right? You see all like the movies where they like they go into the mind of the golfer and everything, all the trees fade away. And it's just this perfect fairway right down the middle. I was like, yeah, that's great. But you can't take away those huge redwoods on the side there and those draping leaves that are intimidating, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, just looking at his overall numbers, and again, I'm glancing at him, there are years where he hit for way more power on the road than he did at home in Boston. You know, Boston plays like five different parks throughout the year, kind of like AT&T. AT&T on a day game, when it's warm, plays completely different than a Tuesday night game in the fog.
Ball's jumping.
Right?
Yep.
So Boston, similarly, you know, depending on the time of the year, you know, when the game is played, what's the humidity level? I mean, they could play in 39-degree weather in October and in April, and they could play in, you know, 100-degree weather where the ball is flying out.
Right.
I'm so excited to get a glimpse of this guy every single day. So you ask me about, like, production. Well, what position is he playing? If he's producing at DH, Wilmer's put up great numbers this year. Now, he's a better overall player than Wilmer, but Wilmer's had a hell of a year. If we're comparing him at first base, I mean, Dom Smith batting a little over 200 has been like, wow, look how great the production is at first base. It's been unbelievable. Why? Because you're juxtaposing that with Lamont Wade's production, which was literally the 31st best first baseman in baseball.
It just sounds laughable, by the way. All due respect to Dom Smith, like, just comparing the Dom Smiths of the world, the Lamont Wades to the world, to Rafi Devers, who's a World Series champion, three-time All-Star.
So that's
and
my
that's
point.
That's the upgrade you're getting.
As bad as this man might struggle, he's going to be better than whoever played there already.
In his last 15 games, here's some of his splits, by the way. He's batting just .214. He has 12 hits. If you just go last seven games, smaller sample size, but hey. The last week or so, just batting .160 with four hits. Got a couple of home runs. He did have a home run in his last game against the Yankees back on June 15th.
Joe.
And you're talking about his position, Joe, real quick. I do want to play Zach Manassian, the GM of the Giants, because he did have a cut about that, because a lot of people are wondering, like you are, Joe, where the hell is this guy playing?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Here's Manassian talking yesterday with Willard and Grandy, saying they haven't spoken to Devers yet about his infield position potential.
We're going to end up talking to him when he's in town. So we haven't had that conversation with him yet, but we'll have it. And look, you know, by all accounts, and even in Buster's conversations with Craig, he's a winner. You know, he wants to help us win. There's been some things since the trade that have gotten back to us, you know, really positive about how he feels about coming here. So we'll have that conversation with him and go from there.
You know, I always think about, like, on certain teams, I'll accept a role, and on other teams, I won't, right?
Right.
Depending on what the situation is. And I think he's going to come here, and the Giants are going to pay him the appropriate respect, and then he would have to meet them halfway and be willing and open to a variety of spots, whether that's first base, whether that's third while Chapman's gone, whether that's second base down the line.
Like, it is funny to me, like, and I get it. He wants to be able to field. Like, that is fun for him. That is why he's a baseball
it's
player.
It's hard to just be a DH.
But that's what I was getting at. Why is it hard to be just
why?
A DH? I'm asking the question.
How many at-bats do you think you get in a game? How many at-bats do you think you get in a game?
Four.
Okay. All right. So if you're chewing on four at-bats and the, like, the best players in the world of all time, okay, the highest batting average ever is Ty Cobb's, I believe, in, like, the 366.
Ridiculous.
Okay?
Yes.
366. That means he's out 66% of the time. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting there on the bench with your failure, not contributing in any other way other than getting on base or not. It's really difficult mentally to be able to feel like you contributed to a win when you're not out in the field making plays. And some guys need the glove to be able to pick up the bat and vice versa. For years, SportsCenter would say, wow, watch this web gem and guy make a play. And inevitably what happens? He leads off the next inning with a big double or a big home run. It's infectious. And so sometimes playing in the field can carry over and give you positivity at the plate because the game's so mental. Same thing can happen when you're scuffling in the field. You could see a guy like Chuck Knoblauch, Steve Sachs, they for whatever reason, short circuit defensively, and they carry it into the batter's box with them. And the next thing you know, you're not playing well. You see this at the free throw line in the NBA. You see this in the NFL with kickers. You see it in golf with putting or driving the ball. Like, I think the mental aspect of the game is important. Very few guys have been able to do what Edgar Martinez and David Ortiz have done, which is exclusively be a great DH.
Well, and Poppy was trying to, you know, like, put Devers under his wing. in all reports because the DH factor. And that's where Alex Cora, obviously manager of the Boston Red Sox, wanted from Devers the rest of the season. He alluded to it. He's like, no, he's going to be our DH the rest of the year. And yeah, listen, when you have guys like Big Poppy, Hall of Famer, who makes it look easy, like, yeah, the people like me are just saying, like, hey, you take a load off of him mentally in the field. He should be able to focus 100% of everything at the plate. You'd think it would be easier. That's why I asked the question.
No,
like, you'd
it's
think
not.
It would be.
No, it's not. Okay. I think it's actually more difficult. I think that's what makes Edgar Martinez and David Ortiz so unique.
But we always get to this, right? Like, with people struggling in the field, like the Adamas. Like, we had that conversation. Do you put him at DH if he's struggling that bad? Try to take a load off of him, you know, for a couple games. Just put him at DH,
right? A couple games is not months at a time.
No,
months at a time is very, very difficult. Yeah, I don't think people understand how difficult it is to, like, look at a kicker. A kicker misses one kick, and it feels like they're psychologically ruined. Does it not?
Hey, I got your back, Jake Moody, if that's what you're alluding to. By the way, we have him now on the line, our MLB insider for The Athletic, Keith Law, joining us now on the River Islands guest line. Keith, good morning. It's Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky here. And we'll bring you right into this conversation in regards to Rafael Devers. And obviously, it's the talk of the town, one of the biggest in-season trades for this franchise in quite some time, and in baseball, quite frankly. So I just want to ask you point blank, what did you make of the trade? And what would you grade it if you had to give a grade from the Red Sox perspective and from the Giants perspective?
I was pretty shocked when the trade went down. We just don't see trades like this in June. We don't see trades like this in season much at all, but we almost never see them outside of the trade deadline, which is still 6 or 7 weeks away at this point. I was out to dinner for Father's Day and came out and saw it on my phone and thought it was a joke. Actually, had never heard any intimation the Red Sox might even be open to trading Rafael Devers. And the Red Sox are supposedly trying to contend this year. Why would you trade one of your best position players, one of your most consistent hitters, your best on base guy, in the middle of a campaign where you are trying at least to get into playoff position? I like the trade a lot for the Giants. I don't think it was terrible for the Red Sox. You don't understand it. I thought their return was a little light, not awful. This wasn't just a dump trade for them. But again, if you're trying to contend, you don't trade a Rafael Devers. You go out and acquire one.
Where does he slot right now into the San Francisco Giants lineup? Whether that be defensively, offensively, within the fabric of a, you know, is he a 3-4-5 hitter?
Well, he's DH, right? He's not. I mean, I understand Matt Chapman is out right now, but Devers hasn't played the field all year. He has never played first base in his life. I've seen this online. Well, the Giants need a first baseman. They do need a first baseman, but they didn't get one. He has never played an inning at first base anywhere in his professional career. He needs to DH. He's not a very good third baseman. If he were to just play there a little bit until Chapman returns, it's not the end of the world, but he's not a solution anywhere in the field. He is a high on-base guy with power. Ideally, that guy hits second in your lineup or he hits fourth. You want to get this guy as many at-bats as you can. You also want to make sure he's coming up with men on base. Those are probably the two ideal lineup spots for him. He's going to help them wherever he hits, though. At the end of the day, the spot in the lineup doesn't matter. Just let him DH and tell him, just go do exactly what you were doing. At a 400 on base for the Red Sox, the Jets, probably the Giants' biggest deficiency right now is literally just getting guys on base. He helps with that, and he's also probably going to be there best or second best power threat for the rest of the season.
Talking with Keith Law here on the Morning Roast, MLB insider for The Athletic. The guy's the best in the biz when it comes to all prospects, front office execs, all of it. Keith, real quick, just rewinding here, what did you make of the Giants when they pivoted off of Farhan Zaidi and they made the move to get Buster Posey in that front office and make him president of baseball operations? Were you a fan of that then? And what did you make of this move from his perspective? Because for the longest time, Keith, in this market, Giants fans were frustrated when it came to Farhan. And the constant reports of finishing in second, whether it was for the Sotos of the world or the Shohei Ohtanis or Aaron, don't call him arson judges of the world, right? Like, the people were just losing their minds because it felt like they were constantly in second place under Farhan Zaidi when it came to these big names. And here's Buster Posey, basically like 6 months into the job. Oh, I got Rafael Devers.
So, first of all, I known Farhan for a long time. I think very highly of him. I was not surprised to see him replaced because they hadn't, outside of the 100-plus win season, they hadn't had success. They had not had sort of, they never won the offseason, so to speak, but also they just didn't win enough games. Ultimately, that is, the proof is in the pudding, right? You got to win games. Even if you make a lot of the right moves, you're going to lose your job as a GM or as a manager if you are not actually having on-field success. And I do think ultimately that was the argument. They just didn't win enough games. Posey, to me, I mean, people are on the line, they're saying Posey did this, Buster did this, Buster. There's a whole baseball operations department there. I don't think Buster Posey is making any of these decisions unilaterally, and I certainly hope not, because he has no baseball operations experience whatsoever prior to taking this job. Zach Manassian is the GM. He's a longtime baseball guy. He's super bright. He, I'm sure, was heavily involved in formulating this trade, as was the staff below him. This is not something that, nor do you want Buster Posey just sort of barging into the war room like the Kool-Aid guy and saying, hey guys, I just traded for Devers. I just traded four players for Devers and didn't consult anybody in the system. I certainly hope Buster's not running the organization that way. And based on the moves, I really don't think that he is.
I find it kind of funny. You don't think Buster, no, like I get you have tremendous respect for some of these front office people, but like Buster's been game planning against specific opponents for over 20 years of his life and has lived, eat, and breathed baseball. Like, he has had a first-hand table. Now, I understand there are many elements to running an organization. I feel like you're kind of selling short his preparation, having done the job on a day-to-day basis for one of the top-notch organizations in baseball for the last 15 years behind the dish. Like, I do think there's a lot of transferable skills and assets he brings to the table that are desperately needed in more front offices.
I totally disagree. Having worked in a front office myself, those are just not the same job at all. Preparing for the tactics in game against specific opponents, against specific players, is not transferable to roster construction, to player development, to amateur, professional, or international scouting, to contract negotiations, to people management. One of the biggest and I think most difficult things about running a front office, whether your title is as a general manager or president of baseball operations, is that you are running a disparate staff of a large number of people, many of whom you will never see because they are spread throughout the country or, in a few cases, spread throughout the world. And so that is an entirely different skill set from managing, quote unquote, a pitching staff with, by the way, the help of your actual manager and coaches. So to me, I mean, this is the argument teams always make when they take often a former catcher and make them.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Manager and say, oh, see, you know, he managed a pitching staff. Now he can manage a team. And more often than not, that doesn't work out because it's not the same job. And the skills that may make you good at one of those do not necessarily apply to the other one.
Yeah, man, you seem very emotional regarding this disconnect. I find it interesting because, like, for example, you a couple years ago had Kyle Harrison as the number two overall prospect as a pitcher behind Paul Skeens. And I watched every single start of this guy. And I know Buster did as well. And so I'm just analyzing what I'm seeing. This guy never could command a second pitch and was basically a mid-90s fastball guy. Why was he ranked so high, and why did the minor league success not transfer over to the big leagues?
We haven't pitched that much in the big leagues. I mean, there's kind of an expectation across fandom, across a lot of the industry now, that these top prospects are going to come up and have immediate success, like Skeens did. But Skeens is a real outlier. You look at Jackson Holliday, who was my number one prospect, Pipeline's number one prospect, Baseball America's number one prospect. His first go-round in the majors, he struck out 50% of the time. The gap between the best play in the minors right now in AAA and the typical play in the majors is as large as it's been in my 20-plus year career. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Harrison, his fastball plays, he has a very good changeup. I think you've kind of undersold the changeup. What he does not have is a consistent breaking ball. And if there's a criticism here of the Giants, it's that I don't think they really adequately tried other types of breaking ball with him. He's got, StatCast actually calls it a slurve, which is usually a derogatory term we use to say it's neither a slider nor a curve, and it doesn't have the good characteristics of either of those. He needs a different breaking ball, and that's going to be a challenge for the Red Sox. It's not like you can just go over to Target and buy a breaking ball. He's got to go find, they're going to have to find a grip and a shape and a release that actually works for his slightly lower slot. What I think worked for him in the minors in his favor, though, because it's a lower slot, it's a little bit of a funky delivery, and he hides the ball a bit. Minor league hitters just couldn't adjust. And major league hitters, particularly left-handed hitters, could, because he had nothing to really spin away from them. They could sit fastball, change up, and know that the ball was not going to, say, end up in the other batter's box. And that's why, if you look in his brief major league time, he didn't get left-handers out that well. And that is the number one thing we expect left-handed pitchers to do. It's why we, I would say, overvalue them in the draft, because you got to get lefties out. And he didn't do that. And that is going to be the separator for him. If he's ever going to become the guy I thought, and I think most of the industry thought he was going to become, he's going to need that third pitch.
Talking with Keith Law here on the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Chasky, MLB insider for The Athletic. The guy knows his stuff when it comes to all these prospects. And asking about another one that the Giants just parted with, James Tibbs, the third, their number one pick last year, drafted 13th overall. Are they going to end up missing this guy, I guess, is the question, because we kind of knew what we had with Kyle Harrison as of late. He struggled. He may end up being a guy, as you've mentioned. He's still so young. Jordan Hicks, he's a tweener. He's not really a starter. He's the bullpen guy. Just, it wasn't working here. And then obviously you can talk about Jose Bayo if you want as well, the 20-year-old international signing they had. But James Tibbs, is this a guy they're going to end up regretting trading potentially, Keith?
I doubt it, because they got Devers, right? If you just put it in the context of, we gave him up to get Rafael Devers. I don't think you're going to end up missing him. I do think Tibbs is going to be a good big leaguer. I don't think he's going to be a star, but I think he can hit. I think there's going to be enough power there. He does show pretty good approach, pretty good command of the strike zone. He's been hitting much better lately after a kind of cold and, I think, sort of unlucky start. But it's right field or maybe first base. I don't think there's huge upside there. I thought he was a perfectly fine first-round pick, and I don't think in the end that they're going to end up missing him. Or Bayo, who is just kind of an arm-strength guy. He's got to find his second pitch. He is still really raw, a long way away, and he's had some shoulder issues already, so that's why they had to – he's a 20-year-old in the bullpen in the complex league. That guy could end up surfacing as a reliever at some point, but he was clearly fourth out of four in the deal.
Where do you think this trade with Devers leaves their number one prospect right now, Bryce Eldridge? Like, Is he still, you know, a first baseman in their eyes slash DH? Do you think that they maybe experiment with him in the outfield? Is he trade bait? Do they stick with him? Like, I'm just thinking about all of the ramifications regarding their number one prospect in Bryce Eldridge.
I don't expect them to trade him at all. I mean, I guess maybe if the Dodgers called and said, will you take Shohei Ohtani off our hands, they might maybe consider parting with Eldridge at that point. But I do not. I think they view him as the jewel in their crown. And I think they view him as their first baseman of the future. They have really resisted any suggestion of trying him in the outfield. He hasn't played the outfield since his debut season in 2023. He has not been great defensively at first, and I've seen him a bunch, and he hasn't been as good as I thought he'd be. He's a really good athlete. He moves well. He was a pitcher who had a decent delivery. He also never had breaking ball, coincidentally, but he was up to 95 off the mound when I saw him. So I'm a little surprised he hasn't been a better defender, and I think that may be the thing that slows him down from getting to the majors. He can really hit, though. It's good approach, good swing. Impact for a guy who's 6'7", the swing is pretty short. Scouts I've talked to who've seen him a lot more than I have say they're not worried that he's going to strike out excessively like a lot of the really tall hitters do. I think he debuts this year, like I was saying about all rookies. I wouldn't expect a ton of impact right away, but I do think he's going to be their first baseman for the next 6 years. And, you know, maybe at some point next year, he really becomes a major part of their line.
Hey, Keith, really good stuff here this morning. One more for you on the way out here. Mm-hmm. The Giants now, in this fabric of the NL West, it is probably the most stacked division in baseball. Where would you slot them? Obviously, I'm sure you'll still take the Dodgers, the cream of the crop. But I got to say, I do think the national media is sleeping on this Giants pitching staff, which basically keeps them in every single game outside of Landon Roop on Saturday. Like, Robbie Ray has been incredible. Logan Webb's been incredible. They're going to get Verlander back. Birdsong has been really nice for them early on. Roop, for the most part, outside of last start, has been pretty solid for them. Where do you rank the Giants now with the addition of Devers in regards to the NL West?
Yeah, I don't think they're that far behind the Dodgers. Dodgers, they're not healthy, right? The pitching staff is still kind of a mess. If you look, it's Yamamoto. I think Kershaw's, it's like, it's a nice story and everything. It's not going to, like, he's not going to remain an above average starter the rest of the season. I don't think there's a ton of separation here. I think there's more separation now between the Giants and everybody else in the division, right? The Padres kind of played above their heads for a little bit. They're cooling off. The Diamondbacks are just a mess with injuries at this point. I think they've had three Tommy Johns in the last 2 weeks. So I do think the Giants are, they have a real chance to end up passing the Dodgers. They are very much, I would say, a favorite to win at least one of the wild card spots at this point. I would also say I doubt they're done making acquisitions. Probably as they get closer to the trade deadline, they'll reassess and see what else they need to add. I will also just throw in there, too, Birdsong in the rotation. Like, Hicks in the rotation was a mess. I've been saying that forever. I'm obviously not the only one. I think Hayden Birdsong's going to be really good. If I was looking for a sort of sleeper pick to break out for them in the second half, that's my guy.
Hey, Keith, really appreciate the time this morning. Great stuff, and we'll do it again soon, man.
Yep, my pleasure.
There he goes. That is Keith Law, MLB insider for The Athletic, and he appeared on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And that last part right there, like, there's a lot of confidence from Keith saying, they can absolutely win the NL West. You see what the Dodgers are dealing with? They're in shambles when it comes to their pitching staff. They got a lot of injuries right now. I know Shohei debuted yesterday. It was just an inning. They're going to really slow him and ease him into that starting role again, giving up a run there in the first. But yeah, man, like, Giants with this Devers trade, with that pitching staff and Justin Verlander coming back tomorrow, Joe, why not them? Why not the Giants?
Take away from
that? Well, they're that, I'm just picking it off from that ending spot. Like,
yeah,
I do. Why'd you think he, I don't think he was emotional.
I find that the dated dorks love
why are you calling him a dork? He was just on there. He was very gracious.
I'm talking about in general. Just hear me out. I call them the data dorks. That's what I've always called them, when, like, the spreadsheet guys. Okay. He's a Harvard guy, and that's his thing.
He's worked in a front office. He worked with the Blue Jays.
He's a baseball prospectus guy, so he looks at the numbers and the data.
He has worked in a front office, though. He has.
Yeah, for a couple years.
Yes, he does. I know you're poo-pooing on that right now.
I am poo-pooing on
why?
It. Because I thought it was a very flippant disrespect to Buster, and like, he didn't deal with personalities on a day-to-day basis.
I don't think he disrespected them at all.
He said
he put a lot of people around him. He gave credit to Zach Manassian, who not a lot of people are giving credit to.
Well, he was defending Farhan as well.
Well, no. He said Farhan clearly didn't deserve to keep that job because it wasn't winning enough. I think he was very
unbiased. He said he was very tight with Farhan. And what I tend to see is that what happens is that
And he didn't need to say that, by the way. He didn't need to say he had a relationship with Farhan, then he likes Farhan and stuff like that. And he said, you know what? He deserved to, you know, lose his job.
You're asking what I asked. And I'm telling you, and this is the reality, is that Buster's forgotten more about baseball than Keith Law will ever know.
Okay.
And so what ends up happening is when the data dorks get jobs in the front offices, they despise the former players because they jump the line and they get in front of people and they put people like Keith Law out of work. That's what happens.
Like Buster Posey?
No, I just think that what he represents is somebody who came right off the playing field with no experience whatsoever, didn't have to grind the hard way coming up as a scout. And I think that a lot of what, again, I call him the data dorks, and I mean that as, you know, a term of endearment, not necessarily a backhanded compliment. But the reality is that they despise the former players that jump and cut in front of the people who have been working really hard to get in their spots. It's kind of like the former athlete that gets right onto the radio right away and doesn't have to grind and do the nights and the weekends and all that stuff. And so I feel like there is a inherent frustration with someone like Buster jumping to the front of the line and getting to be in that position right away with zero experience.
See, I think he was actually giving Buster a lot of credit for leaning on the staff that is around him, for leaning on the Zach Manassians, for leaning on some of his other front office guys. I think he was actually giving Buster credit, saying that's what a good leader does. He's not going to come in there, as he put it, as the Kool-Aid guy and saying, I'm doing this, that. No, I think he leaned on a lot of these guys when it came to this negotiations, and he ultimately had the final say, and he pulled the trigger, and that matters in all this. And Buster's going to get the credit, just like Bob Myers was getting the credit for all those things happening with the Golden State Warriors, right? Like, the guy that ultimately is the face of it, the president of basketball or baseball operations in this case, is all ultimately going to get the credit, but it's okay to also mention the other guys, and that's what Keith Law was doing.
But I get that, but I think we're overthinking this. Buster sat in the squad for 15 years. Yeah. If you don't think he watched Kyle Harrison like I did, like you did, like everyone who's listening did, and goes, this guy can't throw strikes.
Yeah. Yeah, like, absolutely.
He doesn't need a spreadsheet shot out to him to explain to him that the guy, and I disagree with Keith on the other one, like, oh, he's got a good changeup. Oh, yeah, well, then why is he giving up 4 home runs in his last 2 starts on one pitch, the changeup? Like, I think we overthink these things when it comes to the data and some of the people that have played the game. I'm not saying every single time. You could be a data dork and be great at your job. You can be a former player and be awful at your job. There is a fine line amongst all these things. But if you think that Buster didn't sit here and watch every single pitch from Kyle Harrison and know right away, like, yeah, this guy's a couple years away. Like, he doesn't need a spreadsheet to explain him. And then here's the other funny part. That I said, well, Boston's going to do this and that and the other. Do you know who the pitching coach is for Boston currently?
Who?
It's Andrew Bailey. Oh, you know where Andrew Bailey was a year ago? Do you know where Andrew Bailey was a year ago?
Where?
With the Giants, working with Kyle Harrison.
He was.
So the guy who developed him in San Francisco, who's now in Boston, is going to fix the work that he did 2 years ago. Like, we're spinning ourselves into pretzels. And it's just like, hey, look. The guy has a couple of years to go. He's got some ways to go, and Buster knows this. I trust Buster, and I'm not going to allow someone to come onto Bay Area airwaves and crush Buster when he did the one thing.
When did he crush Buster Posey?
That's the way I determined it.
Why?
He said that he didn't make the decision unilaterally. How does including the other people in his front office, like, how's that crushing him?
I'm so confused by why you thought he crushed him. Just because someone leans on other people around them, like, I don't know, what the president of the United States or any president should do, any leader should lean on other people around them.
Whatever,
right?
You asked me my opinion. I gave you my opinion.
No, I'm just trying to understand.
It's whatever.
I'm just trying to understand. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. You feel that way?
And here's the thing. It's Buster Posey.
Yes.
He just landed Devers.
I know.
Of course I'm going to defend him.
That's
It's literally the guy who brought you the first, second, and third championship for an organization that went 54 years in the desert looking for an oasis.
Joe.
I'm always going to defend him.
Joe, all he said was Buster has no experience as a president of baseball operations. Where is the lie in what he said there?
By the way,
I didn't say there was a lie. I said the data dorks defend.
You're saying that he was crushing him. All is that Keith Law said was that Buster has no experience at this job. And you're getting mad because he said that.
And here's what I would say to you. Him with no experience was better than the guy who had experience next to Billy Bean for however many years.
Yeah.
And he was here 7 years. He couldn't do anything close to what Buster with no experience has done in a few months.
And that's what Keith said.
I think the proof is in the pudding.
I think
the proof is in the pudding.
Absolutely.
I think you're just getting upset to get upset.
It's okay. It's all right.
No, I just think that, again, data. Dog, my eyes are telling me the guy can't throw
strikes. You're going Fisdale?
Take that for data.
Yeah, I'm with Fisdale. They're not going to rook us. There we go. I love that. No, Joe, it's okay. I wasn't trying to, you know, poke the bear like that.
You guys, I'm going to always side with guys who played the game. I'm always going to side with them. Again, I've read Keith Law for years. All right? And then when he
comes wrong, and he'll admit it. Yeah, he's been wrong.
But when he comes on air and he tells us, oh, the dad is telling me that he's got a good changeup. No, because my eyeballs are telling me this guy's getting lit up like a Christmas tree.
Listen, in every walk of life, there's room for both. The data isn't the end-all, be-all. It is a tool to be used. Just like Bruce Bochy has come on these very airways and said, I don't like to be called just a gut guy, a baseball lifer, and I don't like
Another catcher who went into managing and, I don't know, won 3 championships.
He did. Yes. Causation does not equal correlation or whatever the one is. I'm butchering that. In the meantime, though, do you want to get to the injury report? Do we want to do that? Let's do it.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I don't know. I think Keith Law should be a weekly going forward. This is good. Justin Verlander, by the way, that's also good because he's back, baby. The Giants announced that he will make his return to the mound tomorrow night against the Cleveland Guardians. Verlander has been absent from the field since his May 18th start against the A's with a right pectoral injury. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. All right, we're halfway home here on a Tuesday. Dave Fleming, 8:30, R95.7 The Game Giants insider, voice of the team, getting his thoughts on Devers to San Francisco. And also, he got a lot more of that Jonathan Papelbon sound that, if you missed his interview yesterday with Willard and Grandy, it is something to behold. Obviously, a Red Sox Hall of Famer. He has a clear bias towards the Red Sox and all of this, but he goes in on one Rafi Devers. And we're going to get into that on the other side. It's Spadoni, it's Chatsky, it's the Morning Roast, it's 95.7 The Game.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.